Kia ora no e ho ma. It's Pākehā Hako Dale Husband Tēnei. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern with us today. Jacinda, tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale.
Morena. I enjoyed a piece of TV that your fella was presenting last night, where a house was moved from Christchurch to Tuatapere. It was a pretty amazing show,
that's
actually.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. I feel really bad. I was at work, so I missed last night's episode.
That's shocking.
Yes.
Can we start off with the nurses, please? Because we've been talking with the nurses. Obviously, you must sense, too, the pressure that they are under and a lot of unease and concern that the nurses, and we're not getting the numbers that are getting interested in nursing because of the difficulty that this COVID situation have thrown up. What would you say of the nurses, the role that they are performing in this challenging time, and also the pressures that they're under?
Oh, they are performing an incredible role, and I've seen that in our vaccination campaigns, in our testing work, and of course in the treatment of COVID patients in our hospitals. As I've gone around the country, I've met members of our nursing workforce who have come from multiple different roles, who, while saying that it's been, you know, hard work, it's been very fulfilling work as well. But I hope, and I've seen met a lot of nursing students as well, which gives me great hope, and they've been deployed into a number of roles as part of their training too. So fantastic to see new nurses coming through. What I want to see is that we're sending a message that they are a vital workforce, that there are plentiful jobs in this area. We have to keep boosting this workforce because that will help take pressure off our existing workforce.
We're going to talk about APEC and also anti-vaxxers. Look, they're very much a minority, but they're trying to block roads now. Our people, Māori, have been disappointed that, you know, you've got your tinoranga, teretanga flags or whakaputunga, proud symbols mixed up with Trump support and far-right slogans and whatnot. What role do you think the media are playing in highlighting this? Because if we didn't give them oxygen, as Ella Henry said when I spoke with her yesterday, then they wouldn't grow in confidence.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think a number of people have put the protests into context in that regard, that, you know, on the day that we had them come to Parliament, well, we probably would have had 10 times that number who would have gone out and been vaccinated that day. And so, you know, obviously been in Parliament quite a long time, and you know it's not dissimilar to some of the other protest movements we've seen around some other issues, and in fact groups that have previously been attached to different issues have congregated around this one, but my concern, yes, is if we give the impression that this is a widespread view when it's not, it is a minority of people. They don't own any of the emblems that they use, and I think people are right to point out if they have concern over those being used, but I think keeping it all in perspective as well. It's not everybody, and it's just a very vocal minority.
We had a decent push that you'd be aware of too with what was called a vaccination battalion to the north last week. They vaccinated 3,000 people. They're pretty hard to reach places up in the north. The numbers since they've come back to Tamaki, because there's mainly a Waipareta crew, all of them, whakapapa from up there as well, has been very slight, I think only 300. So, obviously, this strategy works. And that brings us to this data availability issue. Are you comfortable to talk about that? Because...
happy to talk about it. I think, look, my view is a very simple one. We want people to be vaccinated. Getting people vaccinated means, yes, people having the right information. There have been some differing views, which the Ministry of Health have been trying to mediate, because there was a request for quite a lot of data for people's individual information for across the North Island. And so the Ministry's been, you know, mediating really, trying to navigate those two competing views over whether or not all of that data across the North Island should be released. And as far as I'm aware, have reached some solutions there. Ultimately, though, we all want people vaccinated, and I'd be loath for anyone to have the view that there are absolutely Māori providers that have that individual data. The request, of course, was that whānau auto would be able to access that across the north. But as I say, I'm confident that we've reached resolutions that will help us continue with this mahi.
So John will stop calling Ashley Block of Bloomfield.
I will never make a prediction about what John will or won't say. Best not to.
Let's talk APEC for a minute too, because this was a prestigious gathering. Sadly, we couldn't accommodate all our world leaders who would, normally have attended Aotearoa and been able to meet Kanui te Kanui. But what would you say that we as a nation received out of the APEC summit? And can you share some whakaaro about what you think our Māori whānau might have achieved from that week?
Do you know, I think that so by hosting, it means that we have the role of coordinating APEC for a year. And in this particular year, one of the jobs that APEC had on the agenda was coordinating and drawing together the action plan for APEC over the next 20 years. So to be able to be the chair for that process was really important. It meant that we were able to embed issues that were really important to us. We were really able to drive them. Two of those issues included issues around sustainability and climate change. And so, you know, big change for me from 4 years ago when I sat in APEC meetings and it was barely mentioned to now, there's a real climate lens in all of the work that we're doing. And one of the practical things that we've worked on is having APEC economies, so some of our biggest users of fossil fuel subsidies, to commit to a standstill, not growing those subsidies any further. So that was a really big, big outcome. And the second was we pushed hard for APEC to start focusing more on Indigenous communities. That hasn't previously been a focus of APEC. Our view was that we want a really inclusive recovery from COVID. The Māori economy in New Zealand with $70 billion, other APEC economies could benefit by highlighting and working alongside their Indigenous communities and growing the economy of our Indigenous communities. So that was a really, really big outcome there that was very much led from within New Zealand.
There are some scary predictions about Māori rates of infection for COVID as we lead up to Christmas. Yes, we are behind the mainstream rates, but our people can't be held wholly to blame for that. There are many issues at play that see our vaccination rates lower than the mainstream. What would you say as we approach a Christmas with some pretty scary modelling figures being put forward?
Please get vaccinated. I mean, we will keep doing everything that we can to reach people, to have, you know, the conversations that we need to try and, you know, to try and work with communities around vaccination campaigns. And I still do hold so much hope over the fact that we've seen such high rates amongst older Māori. It's just the issue we've coming up against is reaching into some of our younger age groups. But it also falls upon us that if we are unable to you know, to change those stats or to accelerate, as we're working really hard to, you know, Pene Henare's out on the road. We've been providing additional funding very, very quickly into providers. We've been working hard to drive demand to get people to come through, as you've been seeing. But it's also our job to try and protect the unvaccinated. So as we look to ease in Auckland, because their rates of vaccination are so high, we just can't keep Aucklanders at home forever. It wouldn't be right to do that when their vaccination rates are so high. So we will look to try and protect people as much as we can. But I just want people to be vaccinated because it's the best protection we can provide.
Thanks very much. Just finally, I spoke with Ian Taylor yesterday. He says he's been writing to you, but you haven't been writing back.
No,
Anyway.
I haven't seen his letters, but I have seen his commentary in the media. So
I think.
I'm probably aware of some of the issues he's raising. Look, I mean, you know, Ian's been wanting to push us on self-isolation. We're doing that. He wants us to use more antigen testing and saliva testing. We're doing that too. I think we're all driving for the same outcomes, ultimately. So I don't think we're that far apart on things.
Just finally, kids are back at school in Auckland today. It's been a
Yeah.
really debilitating few months for them, and
Yeah.
parents are frazzled, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
But kids are keen to get back in there, and that mandating of teachers issue remains a bit of a difficult one for many kura. What have you to say of that to make no apologies for that demand?
Yeah. And look, as you know, as you say, we're doing everything we can to drive vaccines, but in certain areas, and they are really limited, we've said actually this is about our kids. And so this is where it's really important that we're just going to have a requirement here, because that's the largest group of New Zealanders that don't have a choice. They can't be vaccinated at the moment. And so we have a duty to try and keep them safe. And we've done that for our teachers, and we've done it for our health workforce. Other countries have done the same, but actually in New Zealand we haven't used mandates as much as other countries. We have been careful, but that's an area where I absolutely stand by that decision. It's for our tamariki.
Jacinda, thanks very much for your kōrero.
You too, Dale. Nga mihi nui.
Me kui hoki.